श्रीमद्भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 13 धृतराष्ट्र क्विट होम टेक्स्ट 39 टेक्स्ट 38 अथ आजगाम अथाजगाम is Hindi translation okay, and on the ladies' side, is there any need for Hindi translation? Tumi kora jo Hindi anubad ka zarurat hai, angrezi jo nahi samajhte hain, kon mata ji ki taraf kon nahi. Okay, so Mitravinda, you organize. Bhagavan Naradaha Saha Tumburu Pratuthaya Abhibadyaha Pratuthaya Abhibadyaya Sanuja Abharchayan Munim Sanujo Abharchayan Munim. In Sanskrit, sometimes two words are combined together. What is that called? That is sandhi. More than one words, under certain condition, becomes one word. And that is called sandhi. So, atho ajagama, what is the sandhi of atho ajagama? What is there? Atha jagama. What is the rule? After a and a, if there is an a or a, what happens? It becomes a. Atha ends with a and ajagama begins with a. So, after sandhi, what it became? So, atha ajagama became atha jagama. And, okay, then another large sandhi, pratuthaya and abhibadyaha. Abhibadya, pratuthaya, abhibadya, aha, these three words became one. So pratuthaya and abhibadya became pratuthaya abhibadya, and pratuthaya abhibadya ends with what? A, and aha begins with a. So again it became another sandhi. So that became pratuthaya bhibadyaha. Pratuthaya bhibadyaha. And then again, this is actually quite a few words together. Sa anuja. Sa anuja became what? Sanuja. And then sanuja, then abharcha. Okay, sanujaha, so sa anujaha ends with a, sanujaha ends with a visarga. Now after visarga, if there is a vowel, shadabarna, then what happens? Visarga becomes, what does visarga become? Visarga in front of a, visarga in front of a, vowel becomes silent ha or lupta ha. So pratyuthaya vibhadyaha, no, then sanuja abharchayan. What it became? Sanuja abharchayan. Sanuja abharchayan. The visarga becomes o and becomes lupta ha. Sanuja abharchayan, then chayan ends with, the word chayan ends with hashanta. And then munim. So after hashanta, if there is a consonant, then what happens? Those two words become one. Abharchayan munim became abharchayan munim. So is it okay? So now let us read the verses. Read the verse. Atha jagamo Bhagavan Narada sahatam guru Narada sahatam guru Pratyuthaya bhivadyaha Pratyuthaya bhivadyaha Sanuja bharchayan munim Sanuja bharchayan munim Atha jagamo Bhagavan Narada sahatam guru Pratyuthaya bhivadyaha Sanuja bharchayan munim Atha jagamo Bhagavan Narada sahatam guru Pratyuthaya bhivadyaha Sanuja bharchayan munim Pratyuthaya bhivadyaha Sanuja bharchayan munim
Thank you.
Mataji's Atha, thereafter, Ajagama, arrived, Bhagavan, the Godly Personality, Naradaha, Narada, Saha Tumburu, along with his Tumburu, musical instrument, Pratuthaya, having gotten up from their seats, Abhidhaya, offering their due obeisances. Aha, said, Sa Anujaha, along with younger brothers. Abharchayan, does while receiving in a proper mood. Does while receiving in a proper mood. Munim, the sage. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. While Sanjay was thus speaking, Sri Narada, the powerful devotee of the Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tumburu. Maharaj Yudhishthir and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances. Please repeat after me. While Sanjay was thus speaking, Sri Narada, the powerful devotee of the Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tumburu. Maharaj Yudhishthir and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Devarshi Narada is described herein as Bhagavan due to his being the most confidential devotee of the Lord. And Lord and his very confidential devotees are treated on the same level by those who are actually engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such confidential devotees of the Lord are very much dear to the Lord, because they travel everywhere to preach the glories of the Lord in different capacities and try their utmost to Such confidential devotees of the Lord are very much dear to the Lord, because they travel everywhere to preach the glories of the Lord in different capacities and try their utmost to convert the non-devotees of the Lord into devotees in order to bring them to the platform of sanity. Actually, a living being cannot be a non-devotee of the Lord because of his constitutional position. But when one becomes a non-devotee or a non-believer, it is to be understood that the person concerned is not in a sound condition of life. The confidential devotees of the Lord treat such an illusioned living being, and therefore they are most pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who actually preaches the glories of the Lord to convert the non-believers and non-devotees. Such personalities as Narad Muni be offered all due respects, like those offered to the personality of Godhead himself, and Maharaj Yudhishthir along with his noble brothers were examples for others in receiving a pure devotee of the Lord like Narada, who had no other business save and accept singing the glories of the Lord along with his veena, a musical stringed instrument. So Dhritarashtra quits home. This is the chapter is describing how Dhritarashtra, Pandava's uncle, left home along with Vidura and Gandhari. So in the morning, when Yudhishthir Maharaj went to offer his respect, went to offer his obeisances to Dhritarashtra, he found that he was not in his room. Now it was extremely unusual sight, because Dhritarashtra, being a blind person, being blind, he could not actually move about himself. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was very surprised. Where did my uncle go so early in the morning? Then he looked for his aunt Gandhari, and he found that she is also not there. Then he looked for Vidura, who just arrived after a long absence due to his pilgrimage. So he found that Vidura also was not there. So he became very concerned. Acha. जो हिंदी जो अंग्रेजी नहीं समझते हैं उसके लिए उनके लिए अनुवाद का आयोजन हुआ है. So Yudhishthir Maharaj now became very, very surprised. It's extremely unusual for Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and also Vidura, all three of them were missing. Now Dhritarashtra's secretary and servant was Sanjay. So all the time Sanjay used to be with Dhritarashtra. So Yudhishthir Maharaj looked for Sanjay, and when he found him, he asked, "Where is my uncle?" And Sanjay told him, "Look, I don't know. Why, he is not in his room." Sanjay actually also noticed that Dhritarashtra was missing. So now Sanjay became very perturbed and very hurt, because Dhritarashtra was always depending upon Sanjay. Sanjay was Dhritarashtra's constant companion. He was like his minister also. He was not only a secretary and servant, but he was like his minister also. He used to advise him, like we found during the Battle of Kurukshetra. And just before the Battle of Kurukshetra, Sanjay actually repeated the Bhagavad Gita to him. Sanjay could hear what Krishna was saying. Sanjay could see what was going on in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Sanjay was blessed by Vasudev that he will have clairvoyance, because there was a need for someone to tell Dhritarashtra what was happening. the battlefield of Kurukshetra was far away, so Dhritarashtra couldn't go. They were in Hastinapur, they were in Delhi, and battle of Kurukshetra was taking place in Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra was the distance from between Delhi and Kurukshetra. I think it's about 140 kilometers. Okay. So about 140 kilometers is a long distance also. So Sanjay could see what was going on, although they were 140 kilometers away from the battlefield. And that's how Sanjay could actually repeat, or Sanjay could actually narrate to Dhritarashtra. He was seeing everything clearly. Sanjay was saying how all the soldiers led by different generals have assembled in the battle of Kurukshetra. And then he said what Duryodhana was doing. Duryodhana, along with Dronacharya, went to see the different army. He took Dronacharya. Pashvaitang Panduputranam Acharya Mahatim Chamam Budhang Drupada Putrena Tavashishena Dhimata. Duryodhana told Dronacharya. Dronacharya was the general. When the battle began, Dronacharya was leading the army of the Kaurava side. But although Dronacharya is a very powerful person, a great warrior, but Duryodhana was worried that Dronacharya may not fight so sincerely, because Duryodhana knew that Dronacharya had a soft corner for the Pandavas, especially Arjuna. So Prabhupada pointed out that Duryodhana was such a clever politician. So he told Dronacharya, look at the army. Jai Shushi Gornitai ki, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan ki, Jai Shishi Krishna Balaram ki. He said, see, Pashvaitang Panduputranam Acharyam Mahatim Chamam. Look at the army on the side of the Pandavas. And the army arrangement, the phalanx, Buha, has been arranged by Drupad's son, Drishtadyumna, Tava Shishena, and who is also your disciple. And he is very intelligent, Dhimata, very. Mentally, he is very strong, intellectually, very strong person. So why did he say that? Because Drishtadyumna appeared to kill Dronacharya. And Dronacharya was such a noble person that although he knew that Drishtadyumna has appeared to kill him, but still he taught Drishtadyumna the art of using weapons. Tava Shishena Dhimata. He is your Shishya. Why? Because you taught him how to use the weapons. So this way Duryodhana reminded, look, you better fight well, otherwise he's going to kill you. And so all these were being narrated to Dhritarashtra by Sanjay. He pointed out who are on the Pandava side, who are on the Kaurava side, especially when Duryodhana went and showed Dronacharya. Atra Shura Maheshvasha Bhimarjuna Samajudhi. Look at this powerful personality, Bhim, Arjuna. So these are the Pandava side. And my side also is not too bad. On my side, in my side there are so many powerful warriors. Bhishmascha Karnascha Kripascha Samitin Jaya. There is Bhishma, Karna, Kripacharya, Samitin Jaya. So they are all Nana Shastra Praharana Madarthe Takta Jivita. Prabhupada is pointing out that Duryodhan is forecasting his fate. That Madarthe Takta Jivita, all these warriors have given up their life for my cause, for my sake. So he already said that they are going to die. Madarthe Takta Jivita, they have given up their lives. So they are dead already. It's only a matter of time. So we can see a television is not a new thing. Even 5,000 years ago there was television. But those days, television was not a very common thing. Only some rare personalities could have that. Like in the age of democracy, everything has become available for everybody. Like those days, some people could fly, like Narad Muni. Now everybody can fly in the planes. Those days, some people could see like a distant object, like Sanjay, what was happening. Now everybody can see what is happening at a distant place. And difference is, in those days, personalities like Narad Muni used to travel through the space in order to preach Krishna consciousness. But now everyone is flying, most of the people are flying for what? For their sense gratification. Those days some people had the ability to see. Why? Because there was a need to relate to something, to somebody like Dhritarashtra. And now everybody is watching TV, but in the TV, like Sanjay, what did Sanjay narrate? Sanjay narrated the Battle of Kurukshetra. Now the TV telecasts what? In the TV everybody sees what? Star Wars. Like all fictitious things. So this is how anriti or untruthfulness is spreading. Those days dharma was situated, dharma was established, everyone was situated in dharma, and everybody was trying to use everything for the sake of propagating dharmic principles, propagating the law of dharma. But now what is happening? Now everything is being used to spread adharma. What is adharma? How do you recognize adharma? To recognize adharma, we simply have to see how much meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling is going on. The more these four activities go on, we have to understand that adharma is spreading. Adharma is becoming strong and powerful. Because these four sinful activities are adharma's four legs. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. But what are the four pillars on which dharma is situated? Dharma also has four pillars. So what are those four pillars? Those four pillars are truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy and austerity. So wherever we see there is truthfulness, there is cleanliness, there is austerity and there is mercy, we have to understand that that is the place of dharma. So Yudhishthir Maharaj asked Sanjay, where is my uncle and aunt? Where are my aunt, uncles and aunt? So Sanjay, when he realized that Dhritarashtra has left home, then he became very disturbed. He felt, he was lamenting that my master has cheated me without telling me, he just left. That was yesterday's verse. And how Sanjay was lamenting, he was crying. Tears were flowing from his eyes. He was crying. And he was very, very disturbed. Then his voice was choked, he couldn't speak. Then he controlled himself and he started to speak. So in the meantime, Narad Muni appeared there. Narad Muni, as I mentioned, Narad Muni has the ability to travel through the space. He can go anywhere. In a fraction of a second, he can go anywhere. That's the ability he has. He can just appear anywhere. And Narad Muni appears wherever he wants, according to the need of spreading Krishna consciousness. Whenever somebody becomes qualified to receive Krishna consciousness, Narad Muni just goes there and offers him Krishna consciousness. That's why Narad Muni is called Narad Muni. He is the giver of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives Krishna. Narada, the one who gives Narayana. Narada. Da means giver. And Nara means, Nara is the abbreviated of Narayana. And we see, whenever some, especially in our scriptures, we see that whenever somebody becomes qualified, he receives the mercy of Narad Muni. Narad Muni appears there. Like, Dhruva Maharaj was searching for Krishna in the forest. Narad Muni appeared there to bestow his mercy upon him. In this way, practically all the devotees receive the mercy of Narad Muni at some point or other. We have seen Chitraketu also. When he lost his son, Narad Muni just appeared. Narad Muni knows the appropriate time to give Krishna consciousness. So Narad Muni appears there at that time. Chitraketu lost his only son, whom he received after so many endeavors, after performing so many austerities and penances and sacrifices. But Narad Muni blessed him that, and actually Angira Muni gave him the blessing that he would get a son. He got a son, but his son was killed. His son was poisoned by his wives, queens. And when the king was lamenting bitterly, then Narad Muni just appeared there, along with Angira Rishi. And Narad Muni instructed Chitraketu about the futility of material existence. Everybody has to die, so why are you lamenting? You lost your son, so why are you lamenting? But before advising, Narad Muni actually got his son back, brought him to life. And he, through the son, He actually instructed Chitraketu. Now how many lifetimes I have come and gone? So which father, which lifetime you are talking about? That you have been my father and I have been your son. So in this way Chitraketu became receptive to listen to Narad Muni. And then Narad Muni advised him about Krishna consciousness and gave him the mantra. And in this way Chitraketu became a devotee, became a Vaishnava. But then unfortunately he was cursed by Parvati because he laughed at Parvati and Lord Shiva. So Parvati cursed. And although Chitraketu could counteract that curse, but he did not do that. He could have counter-cursed Parvati, but he didn't do that. He just accepted. And that is the attitude of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava doesn't retaliate. Vaishnava doesn't want any revenge. Vaishnava simply wishes everyone well. So, Chitraketu accepted the curse of Parvati, and as a result of that, Chitraketu in his next life became a terrible demon called Vritrasura. So, this way we can see that Chitraketu became a devotee by the mercy of Narad Muni. Srimad Bhagavatam, actually we find that everybody practically met Narad Muni at some point or other to receive pure Krishna consciousness. So Narad Muni blessed Chitraketu in this way. Another person that Narad Muni blessed is a Mrigari, is a hunter. And by coming in contact with Narad Muni, Mrigari became a great devotee. A hunter became a great devotee. We know that Valmiki also became a devotee. Ratna, the bandit, the dacoit, Ratnakar, Dasu, became a great saint, Valmiki, by coming in contact with Narad Muni. Ratnakar used to plunder people, the travelers. He used to stay by the side of the forest, and whenever somebody would be traveling, he would catch him, loot his things, and sometimes he would even kill them. So when the way Narad Muni was passing by, he arrested him. So Narad Muni asked him, why do you do that? Why you plunder people? Do you know how much sin you are incurring and you have to suffer those sins? So Ratnakar said, yes, but I am maintaining my family. So Narad Muni said, yes, that's fine, but to commit sins like that is going to be very bad. All that you are doing, you will have to suffer the consequences. So Ratnakar said, well, I am doing it for my family members and they will suffer the consequences. So Narada asked, are you sure about it? He said, yes. I have my wife, I have my father, I have my mother, I have my children, and for them I am doing all this. So they will naturally carry my reaction. So Narad Muni said, okay, then why don't you go and ask them? Then Ratnakar said, oh, you think you are very smart. So you are sending me home and you will run away. So Narad Muni said, okay, you can tie me up to the tree, I will wait for you to come back. So Ratnakar, he could not trust him, so he tied him up in a tree. And he went and asked everybody at home. He asked his wife, he asked his mother, father, children. And everyone said that is your business. Your duty is to maintain us. Now how you maintain us, that's your responsibility. Why should we take your karma? Why should we take your sinful activities? So then Ratnakar realized what a big mess he got himself into. So he came back to Narada Muni and asked how to become free from this sinful reaction. And then Narada Muni gave him the holy name. And by chanting holy name, Vritrasura became a great, Ratnakar became a great poet and a devotee of the Lord Valmiki. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is a misunderstanding in Bengali. They say that when Narada Muni asked him to chant the name of Lord Ram, then Ratnakar could not chant, utter the name. He was so sinful that the holy name of Ram wouldn't come out of his mouth. So then Narada Muni told him, okay, you just call Mara Mara. Mara means dead, which is the opposite of Ram. So Mara Maram Ram 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 becomes Ram. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called this as a nonsense concoction. It's a total nonsense concoction. He said, first of all, Mara is not a Sanskrit word. It's a Bengali word, and Ratnakar was not a Bengali. Narada Muni gave him the mantra, and he chanted the mantra. They wanted to, there is a poet who was not actually a devotee. He introduced few misconceptions. It happened in some colloquial translations of Ramayana and Mahabharata. They introduce different anecdotes to make their points. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very strongly criticized them. And this understanding is so prevalent. I remember when I was young, I also heard that same thing, same understanding. Valmiki couldn't utter the name of Ram, therefore he was asked to say Mara, Mara. Anyway, the point is, Ratnakar became a great devotee. Who is that great devotee? Chanting the name of Lord Ramchandra, Ramchandra's pastimes became manifest in his heart. And he started to narrate those pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. And that is Ramayana. The activities of Lord Ramchandra. Actually, Valmiki wrote Ramayana even before Ramchandra's appearance. How could he write it? Because Lord Ramchandra's pastimes were revealed in the heart of Valmiki. Valmiki was seeing the activities of Lord Ramchandra in his heart. That is how a pure devotee can see the pastimes of the Lord. And what he saw, he wrote down. Anyway, so this way Narada Muni blesses the qualified souls to become a devotee of Krishna. So Narada Muni not only advised, instructed these exalted personalities, you may also know that Narada Muni instructs the animals also. One says, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. And Narada Muni once instructed a snake. He told the snake, why do you display so much envy and bite people. It was a poisonous snake. Become a devotee of the Lord. By coming in contact with Narad Muni, even a snake became a devotee. Just as when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through Jharkhand forest, Mahaprabhu came this way actually. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going to Vrindavan through Jharkhand forest, in the forest he made the animals dance with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, Narad Muni, by coming in contact with Narad Muni, a snake became a devotee. You know what happened? One day Narad Muni came back and he found that the snake was in a bad shape. He was almost dead. So he asked, what happened? He said, look, since you told me not to become envious and display violence, and I became a devotee, people are taking advantage of me, they throw stones and they beat me, and look at my condition. So then what did Narad Muni say? Narad Muni said, Fufkaro lekin kato mat. You show your hood, but don't bite. So, from then onwards, when people came near him, the snake just show his hood, but didn't bite. So they all ran away, just by seeing his hood. So in this way, Narad Muni blesses the living entities. So here Narad Muni came when Yudhishthira Maharaj and Sanjay were lamenting due to Dhritarashtra's departure. And Narad Muni actually told him what actually happened to Dhritarashtra and what will happen to Dhritarashtra. And he advised, it's been good that he has left. Vidura came and he gave him some good advice. Because for an old man, it is not advisable to stay at home. Because it simply increases his attachment. Already everyone is attached. Therefore, at some point, one should try to detach himself. And that is the stage of vanaprastha, a retired life. Retired life doesn't mean only retire from the office work and stay at home and have a good time with the grandchildren. No. One should prepare to detach himself from the family attachments. And that's why the advice was Panchashodhe Bonang Brojet. After 50 years of age, one should retire into the forest. One should go to the forest. Now, the age of retirement has gone higher. Now it's 65 years, right? At the age of 65, they retire. But even after retirement, they don't go to the forest. They stay at home. Actually, in this age, going to the forest is difficult. And there is no need to go to the forest. One can, if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then whether one is at home or in the forest, he is perfectly situated. A devotee of Krishna retires naturally at the lotus feet of Krishna. Just like so many here, we can see Mahaprabhu, he was a lawyer and he retired. And what did he do after he retired? Before he retired even, he made his house into a temple. He made his house into a temple and he is preaching there. And he is preaching very effectively. He is a very, very enthusiastic and very competent preacher. Shyam Mohan Das, he retired and he came to Ujjain. And he is helping build the temple. What he used to do before, he is doing the same thing, but now he is doing it for Krishna. In this way, in this age of Kali, there is no need to go to the forest. One can become a devotee, and when one becomes a devotee, he can either stay at home or he can stay in a temple. There is no need to go to the forest. Because if we go, if one, most of the people won't be able to survive in the forest. Really, there many of them will just die of heart attack on the very first night. Therefore, Krishna made the arrangement very simple. No need to go to the forest. Vanaprastha life, just come, stay in the temple. And when one stays in the temple, does he feel any difficulty? What to speak of Panchashodhe? We are seeing so many young devotees have taken Vanaprastha already. And they have become brahmacharis. They have just accepted the life of a brahmachari living in a temple. They are happy. We are happy. And everyone is happy. Krishna consciousness is spreading. Not only brahmacharis, nowadays the brahmacharinis are also moving into the temple. And not only brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, even householders are moving into the temple. So temple, Krishna's temple is Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha there is room for everybody. There is room for brahmacharis, there is room for grihasthas, there is room for vanaprasthas, and there is room for sannyasis. And at Krishna's lotus feet, everyone is happily engaged in serving Krishna. And Krishna is taking care of everyone. When one surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna takes care of him. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. And when one surrenders unto Krishna, why Krishna wouldn't take care of him? In Krishna's kingdom, there is no shortage of anything. There is plenty of prasad. And devotees, they are so renounced that they are fine if they have to live under the tree, or they are fine even if they have the facility to live in a palace. That is a devotee. Devotees don't have to unnecessarily undergo austerities. If one performs austerity but does not become a devotee, his life is useless. Austerity is not important. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his Sankirtan in Navadvip, in his Sankirtan in the house of Shribhash Thakur, only the devotees used to have the entry. No one else could enter into that thing. So, there was one brahmachari who was so strict that he used to only drink milk. He used to only drink milk. He didn't eat anything else. Just, he used to drink milk. Milk drinking brahmachari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like his presence in that assembly. Shrivas Thakur then told him, "Oh, I thought he's a very austere person. He is situated in a mode of goodness. He drinks only milk and he's a brahmachari." Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Look, drinking milk or becoming displaying such austerity is not important. They are not important. What really matters is that one becomes a devotee of Krishna. If one is very austere brahmachari but doesn't become a devotee of Krishna, he won't receive Mahaprabhu's mercy. As we saw in this case. Of course, he was a fortunate soul. So when he was advised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become a devotee, he became a devotee and received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to understand that austerity is not our goal. Austerity is not our way. Devotional service is what we want to perform. That is what really matters, and that is what will enable us to receive Krishna's mercy. Krishna simply wants us to serve Him. Krishna doesn't see whether we are drinking milk or we are eating Rajbhog, Mahaprasad. Rather, Krishna says, eat well and serve nicely. if there is a servant, he only drinks milk and doesn't serve, will the master be pleased with him? But if there is a servant who serves very nicely and eats a lot also, will the master be displeased with him because he eats a lot? No. The master will be pleased. Like yesterday, C.V. Singh was telling me that his workers, they invited him to take prasad and they served him such heavy prasad. And they also ate a lot. And he was telling me, actually they work hard and they eat a lot. Naturally they will eat a lot. So master knows if the servant is serving nicely, then he'll eat a lot also. So he says, okay, eat as much as you can. So Krishna has given us the prasad. Krishna bada dayamay, kodi bare jiv bhajay, shab prasad anna dilo bhai. So Krishna wants the devotees to eat, eat nicely. Prabhupada told me personally, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. And then he said that this is the only sense gratification they have. The only sense gratification that is allowed to the devotees, especially the brahmacharis, is just prasad. So make sure that they get nice prasad. So Ganga Narayan, make sure that they get nice prasad. I am just passing down what Prabhupada told me to you. But Prabhupada said also, when you are young, you should eat as much as you can. When you are young, you should eat as much as you can. And when you get old, then you should eat as little as you can. So, I'm seeing when the body gets old, it cannot... it's better that we eat less. Because digestion takes energy. And if we eat too much, then the entire energy will be wasted in just digesting the food. There won't be any energy left to serve. So better to eat less and serve nicely. So service is what really matters, and that's why we are here. And our proposal is that anyone who serves, we will take care of him. Prabhupada made that statement when he was in Bengal. Bengal has been communist for a long time. Bengalis have a tendency to be challenging and democratic or communistic. So when the reporters came and asked Prabhupada, what are you doing for the people? Prabhupada said, you bring as many people you can to us, we will take care of them. Our proposal is, our gate is open. Anyone who becomes a devotee can come here and we'll take full care of them. Then Prabhupada, they asked, if I bring people, will you be able to feed them? Prabhupada said, how I feed them, that's my business. You bring your people. Ask them to become devotees. I'll take care of them. Unfortunately, none of them came. They're not fortunate enough. They don't understand that if we surrender unto Krishna, then Krishna will not only take care of us in this life, Krishna will take care of us in our next life also. Some people may take care of us in this life, but who can take care of us at the time of death? What to speak of after death? Can the prime ministers of the countries take care of anybody at the time of death? Can any doctor, no matter how big a doctor he is, can he take care of them at the time of death? No, even the doctors cannot take care of a dying person. So what to speak of anyone else? But Krishna's devotees can take care of anybody at the time of death, provided they want to take the treatment. What the devotee will come and what the devotee will tell? Please try to remember Krishna. Focus your mind on Krishna. And in order to make it easy for you, we will chant ourselves. And in this way, a devotee creates the good fortune. And in this way, devotees are the only well-wishers. And devotees know, because they're servants of Krishna, they know that their master is taking care of everybody. So if anyone surrenders unto his master will take care of him. So in this way, devotees are creating the good fortune. And Krishna is taking care of everybody. So why shouldn't we surrender unto Krishna? Let us surrender unto Krishna and Krishna will take care of everybody. Not only at the time of death, but even after death. Somebody may ask, how can I know? What will happen to me after death? How do I know? So our proposal is at least give it a try now and see what happens. Give it a try and see what happens. We are trying it and so many wonderful things are happening to us. Anyone who surrenders unto Krishna receives the benefit in such a wonderful way. And then the faith becomes strong. The proof is there. Just like somebody is hungry, and what is the natural proposal? Eat some food. Here is some food, you eat it. Then if he questions, how do I know that the food is going to satisfy my hunger? Okay, Baba, take it and then tell me whether it satisfies your hunger or not. Some people say, no, I don't believe you, that it will satisfy my hunger. Then what can be done? If somebody doesn't even want to give it a try, who can ever convince him? If a hungry man doesn't want to eat, but he wants to be proven that the eating will satisfy his hunger, then who can help him? But those who have eaten food have tasted it themselves, isn't it? And he knows, when I'm hungry, I should have food. Similarly, a devotee after surrendering to Krishna knows what happens to him. Therefore, so confidently he can tell others, you also try this, you will also get the same result. Give it a try. Give it a try. And then you tell me what happens. Like when you eat food, does somebody need to tell you what happened to you? No, you yourself see for yourself. That is how we have to, that is why we are trying to spread this wonderful message of Krishna consciousness to everybody. And those who are responding, they are truly fortunate. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yeah, as I just mentioned, if you are hungry and a person comes and tells you, who knows what happens when you are hungry and what is the remedy for hunger, and then what he does, he tells you, Prabhu, eat some food, right? When you eat the food, then what happens? When you eat the food, your hunger subsides. So similarly, a devotee who knows when one surrenders to Krishna what happens. And therefore he goes and tells everybody, surrender unto Krishna. Right? Because he knows when one surrenders unto Krishna, the remedy will automatically be there from material suffering. So, saintly personalities are those who have accepted Krishna consciousness, knows what happens when one accepts Krishna consciousness, and he goes out and tells everybody to become Krishna conscious. And when one becomes Krishna conscious, what happens? All the sufferings are over, all the problems are over, all the anxieties are over, right? At least that much happens, right? So isn't that some big achievement? No more anxiety, no more suffering, no more distresses, no more difficulties. So that is the advantage of listening to a saintly person. A saintly person speaks from his own experience. He has accepted the medicine and he got cured. So therefore now he goes and tells everybody, take the medicine. Take the medicine and see for yourself what happens. Yes, Mahaprabhu. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mahaprabhuji. Yes, that is the condition of this material nature, the conditioning. The situation that we become, that we are placed in the material nature, we like that situation. And we think that that is the only situation, there is no other alternative. And then we develop our attachment around that. Like when Indra became a pig and Brahmaji came and asked him, please come back to the heavenly planet. What was his reply? His reply was, how can I live now? I have my family, I have my wife, I have my children, I have my grandchildren. How can I leave them? So, you see, this is what Maya is. Attachment. How can I live? And ultimately the attachment to the body. And we do that, therefore we cannot actually foresee the possibilities that are lying beyond. He's thinking, the pig was thinking, that how can I leave this situation? Okay, you are saying Indra, but I am better off here than Indra. And besides that, I do not know what situation will be if I get the position of Indra. Because he forgot. That's another thing that happens. That's another thing that happens when one comes to material nature. The Maya, the first aspect of Maya is forgetfulness. He forgets about his past, what to speak of his spiritual situation. He even forgets about his past lives in this material nature. So the spiritual situation, he doesn't have any information. Therefore, a sadhu goes and reminds. Therefore, Bhagavatam is there, Bhagavad Gita is there to constantly remind them. This is what you will get when you take to Krishna consciousness. This will be the reward. And give it a try and see what happens. Just have a trial run. Have a trial and see what happens. And when you give it a try, then we see, yes, there is no more anxiety. Right? When you become a devotee, we don't have any more anxiety. No matter whoever we may be, we don't have any anxiety. A devotee may think, I don't have any anxiety. My anxiety, my temple, my departmental head will take care of me. The departmental head is thinking, I don't have any anxiety. The temple president will take care of me. And temple president is thinking, my GBC will take care of me. GBC is thinking, Prabhupada is taking care of everybody. Prabhupada has created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And if we remain in ISKCON, yes, Prabhupada will provide. Right? And Prabhupada told us, when you surrender unto Krishna, don't worry, Krishna will take care. Just surrender. And Krishna will take care. So we get a taste of Vaikuntha just by being here. Vaikuntha means the place where there is no anxiety. Bigata Kuntha iti Vaikuntha. Place where there is no anxiety. And here we are, ISKCON temples, no anxiety. When we are outside of ISKCON, we have anxiety. But when you are in ISKCON, ever since we joined ISKCON, we said goodbye to anxieties. And we are seeing, whoever we are, whether we are a new bhakta or whether we are senior devotees in the movement, everyone is free from anxiety. There is always somebody to look up to. Yeah. With everyone. Yeah.
Even Kunti Maharani, after battle of Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna was going to Dwarka, at that time she was asking, please, Lord Krishna, kindly. The attachment to kinsmen. Please remove my attachment to what I do. That won't be right. That is it. Now, when we come in which category we come? It seems feeling that type of relationship with the many people. Why the materialistic people should not feel that relationship with the many people?
Yeah. Well, Kunti Maharani's situation is a little different. She is a pure devotee. And her attachments are to the pure devotees. So, but still, A devotee feels that way. Devotee feels that, a devotee never feels that he is a devotee or she is a devotee. An advanced devotee never feels that he or she is a devotee. Like, in the spiritual sky also there are relationships. And Kunti Devi's relationships are actually spiritual relationships. She is an associate of Krishna. All the relationships are actually centered around Krishna. But what her complaint is, that I wish that my total attachment could have been completely focused onto you, not shared with anyone else. And the same way the residents of Vrindavan feel, Brajavasis, they feel that, why do I have this attachment to my children and friends and family? Better that I could actually free myself from all these attachments in order to increase my attachment to Krishna. But then another consideration is that these attachments are going to enhance their attachment to Krishna. Even in the spiritual sky, the competition is there. The competitions are there simply to enhance their relationship with Krishna. So, the ultimate consideration of material and spiritual is where it is, where we put ourselves in the center, that's material, where we put Krishna in the center, that's spiritual. So if there is relationship with Krishna in the center, that is obviously spiritual relationship. Although a devotee may think or may feel that this is Maya, as Kunti Devi is saying, Maya Javanika Channam, that covered by the veils of Maya. But actually her attachment is to Krishna. And not only her attachment is to Krishna, whoever she is attached to, they are also attached to Krishna. Right? Her children are all pure devotees of Krishna. So that's why Kunti Devi's situation is different. That's the humble disposition as a devotee that makes her speak like that. Thank you, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.